Welcome to Sunrise, the radio outreach of Calvary Christian Fellowship of Tucson, Arizona. Join us for the next half hour as we take a personal and up-close look at the Word of God with Pastor Scott Richards. Join us now as our teacher continues his study. Here's Pastor Scott.
You could turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Galatians, chapter 1. And while you're turning there, I'd like to share with you tonight an important parenting technique. If you would really love to drive your children crazy, here's the first thing I would recommend that you would do. Whenever you have to issue a directive as a parent, use this phrase, because I told you to. Now, that one will get them going right off the bat. But if you really want to see them go ballistic, take it up a notch. Say something like, don't do as I do as I say. Well, let's face it. One of the things I've discovered, I call it Scott's Law of Junior Hires. All junior hires are less subtle or more unsubtle adults. What's going on in the hearts of teenagers consistently applies, I think, across the board to human nature. And if we're going to share the good news of Jesus Christ, I guarantee you, if we decide to be the kind of witness that says, don't do as I do as I say, well, you are setting yourself up for a peck of trouble. And please, do me a favor as a pastor. If that's your approach to evangelism, keep it to yourself, because I'm the one that ends up having to pick up the pieces after all of that. Praise God, the Apostle Paul wasn't cut out of that cloth. Boy, as an individual that not only was responsible for writing 17 of our New Testament books, but also an individual that not only took the gospel across the known world of his day, but established churches wherever he went. Boy, Paul knew what it was like to be a spiritual dad. He knew what it was like to have to approach churches with the other famous words sometimes we say as parents. This is going to hurt me more than it hurts you. And when the Apostle Paul had to offer some pretty stern words of correction, when a church would really get off the beam, boy, you better believe that the most important thing he had going for him in his ministry was not just the ability to share God's truth with his lips, but with his life as well. Well, what does that look like in action? Well, in our continuing study through the book of Galatians, This picture of what true spiritual freedom in Christ is all about. We not only saw on Sunday our introduction to this book, the crisis that was going on in Corinth, but we're also going to see tonight a big step in the realm of correction. Again, the Apostle Paul is going to provide a modeling to the church at Corinth of what a life set free in Jesus is really all about. And as we make our way through this section of the book of Galatians, what I hope you'll come to understand is that one of the most important skills that we can cultivate in our walk with God, if we really want to live full and meaningful lives for Jesus Christ, is not only knowing what to say when we get the opportunity to tell people about the Lord, but having already laid a foundation of Christian, consistent credibility. Why, that is the secret to not sharing the Word of God just in words, but in power. Let's pray and ask the Lord to speak to us about this beautiful picture of teaching by modeling we're going to see here in Galatians 1 tonight. Father, thank you for this amazing declaration of independence the book of Galatians is all about, setting us free from legalism, setting us free from self-righteousness, setting us free from religiosity to the glories of a living relationship with you. God, what a beautiful book this is. And Lord, as we see how you did that work in the life of Paul, as Paul relates his story, his encounter of a life set free, I pray that you would be free through your Holy Spirit to speak to us about where we are in our walk with you, whether we are still carrying around an awful lot of baggage, maybe even a few shackles of the old life and the old ways. Maybe we've even put a few on since we came to Christ, of self-righteousness rather than trusting in the Savior's righteousness, leaning on our own works rather than the finished work of Jesus. So, Father, teach us to be able to recognize these signs of freedom. And, Lord, write these truths on our heart, Lord, that we might be able to discover the amazing joy that you have as your gift to us, as your children, bought with a price, set free from slavery to sin, self, and even Satan himself. Thank you, God, for this. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, again, if you were with us on Sunday morning, the Apostle Paul just drops the bomb right off the bat. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. Well, the big challenge in the early church, believe it or not, was not necessarily people that would come into the church and say, hey, you know, do whatever you want. You know, heresy wasn't going to come into the church wearing silk jammies and smoking a pipe and looking like Hugh Hefner. Rather, heresy was going to come into the church in long flowing robes and, again, dour looks and holier-than-thou to-do lists and to-don't lists. You know, if Satan can't get you to fall on the side of licentiousness, giving way to your impulses, boy, sometimes he can get you just as messed up by bringing you down the pathway of self-righteousness. And so the Apostle Paul is saying, you know, again, in these people living in Galatia, we saw that Galatia was a Roman province in the area we would know today as modern Turkey. In fact, the Turkish capital of Ankara is smack dab in the territory of the Galatians. The Galatians were very interesting people. Julius Caesar, in his Annals of the Gallic Wars, talked about the character of the Galatian people as being highly intelligent, very inventive, but amazingly flighty and fickle. Well, that fickleness had caused the Galatians to start to embrace this idea being shared by this group called the Judaizers, these people that would come along after Paul had established a church and said something in the effect of this. Well, you know, it's great that you've received Jesus as your Messiah, but you know that Jesus is the Jewish Messiah. And if you're truly going to receive him as the Messiah, well, then first you've got to convert to Judaism, and then you can become a Christian. In fact, we've got a little ritual we'd like you to go through. It's called circumcision. Show just how sincere you are in this process. Boy, I bet their altar calls were something else. You better really be sure about all this because I've got the clippers up front here. Well, believe it or not, this Galatian heresy, this idea that somehow you could be right with God in a two-ticket, part-ticket form, if you will, that you put your trust in Jesus and in your good works. Boy, it was doing land office business. And quite frankly, it does land office business even in our day and age. There's all kinds of people that you will run into out there. Maybe they won't say it in the front of their minds, but in the back of their minds, who believe that God loves them more when they have their prayer time in the morning. Or that the best way to make sure that you're really, really saved is, you know, to go down to Fourth Avenue and hector a few people. You know, it's what we do for God that matters, not what Jesus Christ has done for us. Well, Paul says that's a gospel, but it's not the gospel of Christ. It's another gospel, which is really not another. And Paul drops the bomb. If we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than the one we've preached to you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any gospel to you than that which you've received, let him be accursed. He says, for do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? If I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. Now, catch that word bondservant there. Why could Paul be so uncompromising, so heavy duty, such a purveyor of tough love, if you will, to the Galatian church? It's because he not only loved them, but he loved Jesus. He was Jesus' bondservant. And again, the Apostle Paul discovered something. You know, it's a lesson that eventually you learn if you're involved with any area of ministry whatsoever. It quite simply is this. It's much easier to please one master than 100 masters. If you decide that you're going to live your Christian life for an audience of one, that is to please the Lord, to be his bondservant, boy, that's going to keep you on track. It's going to keep you from getting distracted. It's going to keep you from being deceived on a lot of different levels. And so Paul drops this heavy on them. He's going, look, you can't have Judaism and Christianity at the same time. You can't put your faith in rituals and things like circumcision and your own good works and the finished work of Christ at the same moment. It's got to go one way or the other. One leads to bondage, the other leads to freedom. Well, what is this spiritual freedom, this freedom to have a relationship with God all about? What does it look like in practice? Well, that's where we pick things up in verse 11 of Galatians chapter 1. There we read, "But I made known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man, for I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came to me through the revelation of Jesus Christ." Now, notice the first thing that the Apostle Paul says about this. He's sort of anticipating an objection that would rise in his readership there in Galatia. Wow, Paul, you've dropped some serious truth bombs here about no other gospel. And boy, if you get the gospel wrong, you are on the pathway to being accursed. By the way, the term accursed quite literally means you're on the highway to hell. There's no other way to describe it here. You've laid down some heavies here. Well, Paul, why should we listen to you? Says who? You can say these things, and it sounds very impressive in your letter here. Why should we take you seriously? Well, the first reason that Paul gives that he should be taken seriously was what we could call the delegation of this message of spiritual liberation. Where did he get it? Well, in contrast to these super spiritual individuals. And it's really interesting if you are a hardcore Bible fan out there and you really want to see some interesting parallels, read not only the book of Galatians in preparation for our studies here, but read through the books of 1st and 2nd Corinthians, because a lot of it is very similar subject matter. You know, there were individuals in Corinth that even though they started out great, they were, really getting off base and off the beam. There were individuals, especially mentioned in 2 Corinthians, who portrayed themselves as super apostles. You know, basically they are the ones that really are spiritual. They say, well, Paul is okay. It's good. That's nice and basic. But boy, we've really got the truth here. And that was the same kind of thing. These super spiritual individuals were essentially name droppers. As we're going to see, they placed great stress on not necessarily knowing Jesus, but knowing the kind of the who's who, the spiritual mucky mucks, if you will, of the day. You know, in contrast to these people who will talk about, oh, James, James the half-brother of Jesus, there in Jerusalem, he's kind of our guy. Simon Peter, oh, yeah, Peter, he's really one, won't even eat with a Gentile, and on. Paul is just going, look, you can talk about Peter, you can talk about James, you can talk about all of these heavy hitters in Jerusalem. Guess where I got the gospel? From Jesus Christ himself. I love this because he goes straight to the top in terms of his appeal for authority here. Again, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23, we see this picture of how Paul received this gospel by revelation. Now, we're going to hand out on Sunday a card that will give you sort of a blow-by-blow description of the life of the Apostle Paul. And it really helps to be able to have something like this because you can see and put together in sequence the way God worked within his life. Well, after Paul's conversion, we're told that one of the first things that he did was essentially nothing, at least from a human point of view. He spent 3 years in the deserts of Saudi Arabia. And during that time, he received from Jesus the gospel message we have today. And as we go on a little bit in the book of Galatians, we'll see a little bit more about this particular experience that he had. But understand something. Paul didn't get the message of the gospel because, he saw Peter and James and John preaching in Jerusalem and did miracles. Man, how can I get in on that? No, it was Jesus himself that pulled Paul up short. You're familiar in Acts chapter 9 of the story of Paul's conversion on the road to Damascus to persecute the church. Jesus appears to him and says, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It's hard for you to kick against the goats." He says, "Who are you, sir?" And he said, "I'm Jesus whom you're persecuting." Well, he goes on to Damascus. A man named Ananias had to be dragged kicking and screaming to pray for Paul. He goes, "Yeah, I'm not going to pray for this guy. He's their number one persecutor." But Jesus told Ananias, "Don't worry, Ananias. I'm going to show Paul all the things he's going to have to suffer for the kingdom during all this. I'll take care of straightening Paul out. You just pray for him." And again, Ananias went, prayed, "Saul, receive your sight." Again, Paul's conversion was complete. So he goes off to Saudi Arabia. He doesn't consult, if you will, with flesh and blood, as we're going to see in just a moment here. He goes out, and during this time, he meets literally with Jesus out in this desert place. You know, some of these examples that we find in Scripture of some revelation that Paul received during this time that we find really nowhere else in the gospel might be pretty familiar to you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23, this is a passage we talk about when we celebrate communion. Listen to what Paul said. "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" And so on. Now, where did Paul get this insider view of what happened at the Last Supper? Not from Peter, not from James, not from John. He got it from the Lord. "For that which I received from the Lord, that which I also delivered to you." It gets even more interesting in the book of Acts, chapter 20, maybe one of the most famous statements we find in the whole Old Testament, one of the most often quoted across the board, is something that the Lord revealed to Paul, not in any of the Gospels, not in any of the letters of, say, the other apostles, but directly from the Lord. I think you're going to find this fascinating. The Apostle Paul speaking to the Ephesian elders, giving them this, "I'm never going to see you again. If you don't remember anything else, I told you remember this." One of the last things he said to them, we find in Acts chapter 20 and verse 35. He says, "I've shown you that in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" Now, you can do a concordant search in your Bible to try to find that quote from Jesus. You're not going to find it anywhere else but here in the book of Acts. This is something that Jesus himself revealed directly and personally to the Apostle Paul during that particular time. Well, you know, if Paul spent 3 years in Arabia receiving the gospel directly from Jesus, you might be saying, "Well, why don't we get more of it? You know, why don't we have a whole book where Paul says, 'Now, this is the gospel according to Paul, and this is what Jesus showed me here.' And boy, one night, you know, I was out there, you know, near Mount Sinai there in Midian, and then the Lord appeared to me, and this and that happened. Why don't we have more of that?" Well, I don't know. I wish we did. But it's not the only time we find ourselves in that kind of situation. Remember the story of the two disciples following the resurrection of Jesus. They're still not convinced that Jesus has risen from the dead. They're walking along this road to Emmaus, right? And Jesus, in his resurrected form, appears to them. They didn't recognize him for you know, a number of different reasons. And Jesus asks him, "Well, why are you guys, what's this you're talking about? You're walking along, you're so sad. Hey, are you the only one in Jerusalem hasn't heard what's happened to Jesus of Nazareth? He was mighty in word and deed. We thought he was the Messiah, but he was betrayed, he was crucified, and now some women in our midst said they've seen him risen from the dead, and some of the apostles went down there, and they saw the tomb was empty, but him they didn't see. Well, you know, again, Jesus had an interesting conversation with these individuals. He said to them in Luke chapter 24 and verse 25, "O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." Now, far be it from me to say to the Lord, "Lord, I think I could give you a little editing advice here on your Bible. You know, a little 2 cents worth for me about the things that maybe you should leave in and the things maybe you should leave out. You know, the whole deal, you know, in Chronicles about all the genealogies, I think we could have lived without that. But why don't we have this?" Jesus himself explaining to him all the things in the scriptures pertaining to himself in the Old Testament? Man, how many Bible scholars would we put out of work if we just had that from the Lord? But we don't. Why don't we have it? Well, in God's economy, on a number of different levels, boy, you can take this to the bank. If you need it, you got it. If you don't got it, you don't need it. Maybe the Lord is saying, you know, if I told you everything, then you aren't going to be as excited about heaven. You know, this is going to be one of those things. I'm going, what did you tell those two guys on the road to Emmaus, Lord? What was it? Well, Paul, nice to meet you. Hey, big guy, I want to know what it was like meeting with Jesus for 3 years in the Arabian desert. Can you tell me some things that you guys talked about during that time? Man, I'm going to have a lot of catching up to do with some of these people here. But understand, this is the first thing that Paul did. He didn't sit there and go, "Oh, okay, how do I get to become a big shot in the church? Well, how do I make a name for myself? You know, again, I was named Saul, named after, you know, the tribe of Benjamin's greatest king and all this stuff. The only king from the tribe of Benjamin. Lots of expectations on me. How do I get on that road to being somebody?" Well, Paul took the road to being somebody in the Christian life in Jesus' preferred method, by first becoming a nobody, dropping out of sight, just spending time with the Lord.
Bible teacher and pastor Scott Richards of Calvary Christian Fellowship of Tucson, Arizona. Be sure to join us next time as we continue through the Word of God here on Sunrise. In the meantime, we invite you to get in touch with us here at CCF to request your own copy of what we heard on today's broadcast. We also extend an invitation for you to join us for worship and study of God's Word. We're located at 3850 North Commerce Drive. Simply go one block west of I-10 on Prince Road, then 2 blocks north. Our Sunday morning worship times are 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our Wednesday study gets underway at 6:30 p.m. For more information on our many outreaches, you can call 292-9661, 292-9661. You can also call that number if you want an audio copy of today's broadcast. That's 292-9661. Or visit our website at calvarychristianfellowship.com. That's calvarychristianfellowship.com. Well, thanks again for joining us, and be sure to make plans to be with us next time for more of Sunrise with Scott Richards.
Jesus, sweet Savior, we want to glorify you.
This program has been made possible by Calvary Christian Fellowship of Tucson, Arizona.